The following Sleep Better podcast is brought to you by the Sleep Forum. For more information, visit thesleepforum.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Ruth Marion with the Sleep Forum, and I am here today with Dr. Mark T. Murphy. Dr. Murphy is Chief Dental Officer at ProSomnus. So Dr. Murphy and I met actually at Sleep 2022 in North Carolina. Yes, we did. And we got to chat for a little bit. And I just wanted to invite you on today to tell us all about it. Tell us what's ProSomnus and how to get it.
Well, thank you, Ruth. We did meet at Sleep 2022, and it was fun because I got to stand there and listen to you do some podcasts and all. And boy, you just got an exciting way of, bringing a lot more life to the general public and the consumers about dental sleep medicine and sleep medicine and sleep in general. And I think that's just really cool stuff. So thank you for doing all that you do. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I was at ProSomnus. I was at Sleep 2022 as ProSomnus' chief dental officer, and I presented some posters there, abstracts, papers. So I was there because we had a booth. We exhibited. We are the North America's largest manufacturer of oral appliances instead of CPAP masks for treating obstructive sleep apnea. So patients who have a problem with getting enough good air while they're sleeping often end up with a CPAP mask. In fact, 95 out of 100 patients who have obstructive sleep apnea, whether it's mild, moderate, or severe, and that's different than just snoring, but most of the time somebody who snores does have sleep apnea, but they don't always go together. But 95% of the time, a patient who has sleep apnea gets a mask and a hose, and they get what's called CPAP treatment. And there's different kinds of CPAP, and they're a lot better than they used to be, but they're still a bit of a burden for people. So we are different a little bit because ProSomnus makes an oral appliance, but we've had oral appliances around for 30 years. The problem, Ruth, and you and I talked about this at Sleep 22, is most of those older appliances are made by hand, and they're made by dental laboratories rather than a medical device manufacturer. They're a little bulkier. They gunk up a little bit more. They're harder to wear. And dentists didn't always follow all the rules and regulations that medicine would have for how we use those kinds of oral appliances. So the biggest barrier was that even though they worked reasonably well, physicians didn't trust dentistry to do a good job or those appliances to do a good job. And now with ProSomnus, we make a oral appliance that has a very high level of medical precision. We use artificial intelligence in its design. We use robotic manufacturing, and these things fit better. They're smaller. They're easier to keep clean. They're much more comfortable. And as has been presented in the same organization, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, in their own journal, we've got 94 in a peer-reviewed journal, 94% efficacy for mild and moderate cases. So that's on par with CPAP, and it's far easier to wear. So We've got objective compliance metrics that show about 90% of our patients who get an oral appliance wear it, and it's only around half of the people that get a CPAP. So on par for mild and moderate, we match right up there beautifully with CPAP and far easier and better for the patients to wear. We are that solution. No other company yet, although they will follow, is making the same level of precision devices as we do, and that's why we've got the largest market share in North America, just launched in Europe. There you go. That's it in a nutshell.
So just to delve a little deeper, why would somebody use an oral appliance versus a mask, a CPAP mask?
Yeah, so a mask works virtually 100% of the time. So as a treatment, it works fabulous. But to put a mask on with a hose means you're going to be restricted a little bit in your movements at night. It's harder to wear. And they find that when they define wearing it or compliance or adherence, they define it, Ruth, as 4.5 hours a night, 5 nights out of 7. If you wear it 4.5 hours a night, 5 nights out of 7, you are said to be compliant. And they set that standard so low because so few people can wear it 7 hours a night, 7 nights a week. And so the problem with CPAP is it works great, but it's really hard to use. That's why Compire came out with surgery. Patients would rather have surgery done. They'd rather have a pacemaker-like device put in their chest and wires run up their neck to the base of the tongue. They'd rather have their insurance company spend $30,000 or $40,000 than wear a CPAP. And now, though, that we have this really excellent alternative, especially for mild and moderate, it doesn't work as well for severe. It probably works around 60% of the time for severe cases, which is still very admirable. But for mild and moderate, those patients really today have a choice. And that's really what it says in the guidelines that the American Academy of Sleep Medicine has. If you have mild or moderate sleep apnea, the patient really kind of has a choice. Do you want to try an oral appliance or do you want to try CPAP? And yet a lot of physicians still guide them towards CPAP because they've got this historical perspective of how bad oral appliances were. Well, they're not anymore.
And let's talk about mild to moderate sleep apnea. Sure. How many people happen to have that?
Yeah, this is at scary numbers. And I know you know the answer to this. That's why you're asking. So thank you for that softball question. In America today, in North America, about 20 to 25%, we don't know exactly, but let's just say 20% of 300 million, it's a little bit more than 300, but say 20% of 300 million people have sleep apnea. That's 55 or 60 million people. The estimates are all in that range, 55 or 60. Let's say it's 60 million people. Two thirds of those have mild or moderate, and one third had, it's roughly evenly broken up between mild, moderate, severe. So that means two thirds of those, 40 million people. Now, that wouldn't be so bad if it was something that we had treated 35 million of those 40 million. The problem is we've only treated 10 or 15%. So if there's 40 million mild or moderates that have sleep apnea in the United States today, North America, and we know that only 10 or 15%, let's say 20%, let's say 8 million have been treated, that still leaves 32 million. 10% of the population of the United States has untreated sleep apnea is walking around. And that's a ticking time bomb from a health perspective.
I would bet you that a lot of those people don't want to be diagnosed because they already think their doctor's going to say CPAP and they don't want to.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
They don't know there's other alternatives out there. They're either going to CPAP or surgery, but not to know that there's another alternative as simple as a mouthpiece that you know, looks like a night guard. I'm going to call it.
You are spot on. The number one reason people don't talk to their physician about their snoring or their poor sleep or anything like that is they know they don't want to wear a CPAP. They know somebody that has one. They know somebody that hates one. They know somebody that doesn't wear one. The second reason, though, is kind of interesting. If you work for the Department of Transportation, or if you are a policeman or a fireman, or if you are an airline pilot, part of your physical examination is going to be asking and answering the questions, you know, about your sleep or your snoring. Because if there's even a hint that you might have sleep apnea, you have to be treated for that. To fly, you have to be treated for that. To drive a truck, there's a degree of plausible deniability where people don't want to ask, so they don't have to answer the question about sleep apnea. But airline pilots, for example, commercial airline pilots are all tested, so you don't have to worry about that when you get on a plane to fly. I fly every week, so if you're going to get on a plane to fly, every single airline pilot flying commercially has a complete physical, including a sleep test. And they're always examined, and that's figured out. And it's okay if they have sleep apnea. They just have to wear their CPAP or an oral appliance every night and prove it. And they have to prove just like that they slept 8 hours. They have to prove that they didn't drink. They have to prove that they wore their treatment for their sleep apnea so that they can get up and fly the next day and know that we've got the best pilot in front of us. The military, for example, is our largest customer because the military is really concerned about soldier readiness. Because soldier readiness involves the best nutrition, the best fitness, and the best sleep. That combination of three things, that's their fitness or readiness triad.
Right. Three pillars of good health.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm always good at two out of the three on any given day. Two out of the three. And I'm not telling you which one's which days, but.
So I would imagine, I'm just going to take a guess at this, you know, mm-hmm. that within days of somebody wearing an oral appliance, they're going to already see a fast difference in their sleep. And I would also guess that it's comfortable. I mean, if you need it, then you're not going to want to put it out of your mouth. Is that correct?
So there's the occasional patient that can't wear an oral appliance, but it's very, very small. Okay. They're generally found to be very comfortable. Patients adapt to them very easily. And you're right. Usually, if you gave me 100 patients and I treated them and I gave them an oral appliance, I would say that well over half of them noticed a significant difference in their sleep quality the first night. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they would with CPAP too, right? Because suddenly they're getting more oxygen. They sleep better. They don't get up to pee as much. They don't wake up. They're not as fragmented. They get more dream sleep. They get better rest. And they go, wow, I didn't know that's what a good night's sleep was. And so with CPAP or with normal appliance, both, that first night is wow for most people. Now, some people have to go a little bit further forward. How far do we stick their jaw forward with these two appliances, one upper, one lower? Well, we don't know for sure. We take our best guess. We make some measurements. But it's kind of an approximation because all of our tests, when we try to figure out the best spot, we do those when you're awake. And that's different than when you're asleep. When you're asleep, you're more paralyzed, especially in dream sleep. So it's a little harder when we guess as to how your jaw is going to relax and fall back at night while you're sleeping. We try to guess that during the day. And we don't always get it right. I get it right about 40% of the time on patients that are awake when I fit them for an appliance. The other 60% of the time, I've got to move them forward a little bit. Once in a blue moon, I'm too far forward and have to move them back. But that's quite rare. Usually, I've got to go forward a millimeter or two.
So not every dentist does what you do.
No, for sure.
How does somebody find, you know, before we get into that, you know, just to get back to one thing really quick, you know, we talked about people not getting diagnosed.
Right.
Let's not forget how now easy it is today with a lot of technologies like home sleep tests. I just want to throw that out there because our listeners are, you know, could easily, you know, they could figure something out like that. And it could just be a lot simpler than it used to be, is what I understand.
Yeah. So I'll answer all three of those. You almost kind of wrapped in three questions. Yeah. That's why you're such a good interviewer.
Okay.
You give me lots of width to go into. So there's about 6,000 or 7,000 sleep physicians in the country, including nurse practitioners and PAs. There's about 5,000 or 6,000 sleep dentists in the country, if you want to call them that, who do some sleep, an occasional device or something. There's probably 600 who do a lot of it. So if you looked at the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine, who's kind of the de facto body for that, they have a qualifying dentist program and a diplomate or board exam and board test program, which I've gone through. So I'm a diplomate of the American Board of Dental Sleep Medicine. There's about 4,000 members of the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine, and there's about 1,000 qualified dentists, and there's about 600 diplomates. So it's a very smaller number than sleep physicians. You can find one of those by going to the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine, AADSM.org website. You'll find my name on there, Mark Murphy. Go look it up. Have some fun. Or you can go to prosomnus.com, prosomnus, prosomnus.com. That's my company's website. And there you could find a dentist who uses Prosomnus devices and is at least comfortable with and used to using our devices. So it's pretty easy to find a dentist. And if there isn't one near you, you know, you might have to drive a little bit. So, but if you're in any kind of a decently sized city, we've got lots of clients all over the country. You're right about it's fairly easy today to get a home sleep test. Probably 90% of the patients who get their sleep tests get them done at home instead of in a sleep clinic. Whoa, that's way easier. A lot of them are two-night tests. They're a lot easier, more comfortable to wear. But I would even go broader than that. Your listeners might be wondering, gosh, I snore or I don't sleep well. Do I have sleep apnea? And the only way you can tell is to get a sleep test. Because you could snore horribly or you could sleep terribly and not have sleep apnea. And you could not snore and you could think you sleep great and you could have sleep apnea. Now, usually bad sleep, snoring, sleep apnea all goes together, but we have exceptions. But here's a great rule to remember in the back of your head, and it's called stop, bang, S-T-O-P-B-A-N-G. There are 8 questions you want to ask and answer. And if you get 3 of them, yes, you're at moderate risk. If you have 4 of them, you're at high risk, or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. Doesn't matter whether it's 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, it's high risk. S, do you snore? Yes or no? I do snore if I don't wear my appliance. T, are you tired during the day? Do you have some tiredness? Would you be likely to fall asleep sitting in a library or sitting in a warm room after lunch watching TV? If you get tired and drowsy during the day, you get to give yourself a yes there. I don't get tired during the day. I want to say ever. I am like, you know, Ruth, you and I met. I'm like the Energizer bunny. So are you. STO. Has anyone ever seen you kind of stop breathing while you're sleeping, where a snore turns into a stop breathing. It's called an observed gasp or an observed stop breathing. If that's a yes, that's another positive. Do you have high blood pressure? Or do you have arrhythmias? Do you have GERD? Do you have one of those comorbidities that is so often made worse by sleep apnea? So if you do, that would be another positive thing. So for me, I snore. I'm not tired. My wife's never seen me stop breathing, and I don't have hypertension. I don't take any meds. High five. I'm looking pretty good. Uh-oh. Here comes the bang part. BMI. I stand up right now, but I don't think anybody could see because we're on a podcast. But if I stood up, you'd say, hey, he's a big, pretty fit looking guy. And yet my BMI is 29.8. I am 225 pounds, 6'3". And just like a lot of NFL football players who are pretty fit, their BMI is pretty high. And if your BMI is high, it's not yelling at you about being fat or anything. It's just saying your BMI is high. Your body mass, muscle or fat, your body mass is too much for your body. And that's going to choke off your airway, and it's going to be harder for your body to carry that around. So if you're overweight, that would be a positive. If you're over 50, that would be a positive. If your neck size is 15 for women, 17, I'm a 17 and a half for men, that would be a positive. Uh-oh, I'm not doing so well now. My BMI is close. My age, yep, I'm 65. My neck size is 17 and a half. I'm screwed. I've already got three things. Well, here comes the fourth. If your gender is male, so Ruth, you get a pass on this. I'm going to declare I'm male. You're going to declare you're female. So we have declared, and I do have, and you don't have that risk factor. So I've got snoring. I've got BMI's borderline, but I've got age. I got neck size, and I got gender. So there you go. I got four. I'm at high risk. What does high risk mean? 92 out of 100 times, if you have four of those things, you will test positive for sleep apnea. So it's a great quick way. And most of the websites you'll see about sleep apnea, if you go to my office website, which is, it only matter if you're in Michigan, it's not important. You can go look at it. Functional sleep with a K, functional, because I'm kind of funky. So functional sleep with a K. And if you go to functionalsleep.com, you'll see this quiz and you ask and answer those questions and they'll tell you whether you're at high risk or not.
That's great. Do we have anything to add to this, doctor?
Yeah, so I know that you and I are primarily talking to the world. We're talking to consumers. We're talking to people like you and I, but I'm a dentist and there's also sometimes dentists that listen to your podcast. So I'd say that because we're in the early part of the summer of 2022, in August, the 18th through the 20th, we've got a pretty incredible, you and I met at an incredible continuing education event. There's another one coming up actually this weekend in Phoenix that I'll be at and attending. And then there's another one that's in August that's going to be out in San Francisco, California, the beautiful Fairmont Hotel. It's called Pro Sleep 22. And so if you go to the ProSomnus website, you can find out more about that. If you're a dentist or a physician, we've got some incredible speakers. Several physicians are speaking. One of the leaders of the sleep medicine program from the Department of Defense for the Army is speaking. We have people from Belgium, the UK, Ireland, all over the United States that are speaking and attending. It's going to be an incredible 2-day event.
Will you be telling, will you be giving CE credits or
yes,
to people attending this? Okay.
We will. So I think there'll be 16 CE hours, CMUs, if you will, for dentists or physicians attending. And more importantly, I mean, the CMUs are always important. You always got to get those, but most of us have no problem getting those. But most importantly, it's going to be a sort of a future focused event talking about some new trials we have coming up, some new clinical trials on a severe indication and severe clearance, some new sensor technology, some really cool forward thinking things that will help physicians and dentists work together more, because their goal, physicians' goal, and our goal as dentists, because we work for physicians in this regard, they always have to write the prescription and do the diagnosis, is to try and help more patients get treated. And if we're helping physicians, we can get more patients get treated, and that'd be a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, that's what we're all here for, right?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yep. Yep.
Ruth, always great. Good talking to you.
Great talking to you. Great information. I'm going to make sure, you know, telling our listeners that everything will be on the sleepforum.com.
Gotcha.
Dr. Murphy's information, ProSomnus information, and their show as well. So keep an eye out. I'm sure they'll be coming out with lots of new things, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
We'll do that. Thanks, Ruth. Appreciate it.
Okay. Let's do it again. Take care.
Peace.
Bye.
This Sleep Better podcast was brought to you by the Sleep Forum. For more information, visit thesleepforum.com.